I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And we commence reading at those familiar verses, verse number 11. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 11. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word together. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him, and when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring in his hand and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Let's keep our Bibles open, let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take of thy word, write it upon my heart and the heart of every hearer this morning. We pray for those who are listening in, even in the World Wide Web. We pray that thou wilt apply these words afresh to their hearts too. We ask of thee that in all things may thy name be glorified, that even this day that some person will come in repentance to thee, a righteous God. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, the setting of chapter 15 of the book of Luke's Gospel, I suppose one of the most familiar chapters in the whole of the Bible, is there in verses number 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So the reason for the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak here, it's because of the murmuring of the Pharisees and the scribes. In actual fact, whenever you look at what they murmured against the Lord Jesus Christ, in their murmuring, they actually were paying the Lord a compliment. And they didn't know it. Because they said there, if you look in verse number 2, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, friend, let me tell you, if he didn't receive sinners, would we be in an awful place this morning? Thank God he did receive sinners. That's why he came. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this chapter is a chapter of lost things, showing us that sinners are lost and that they need the Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ told the story, first of all, of the lost sheep. And I want you to notice the shepherd took time to seek and to look for the lost sheep. And then we find that the woman, she took time to look and to seek after the lost coin or silver. And then we find the father took time to look for his lost son. And so the Savior here is pictured as the one who takes time, because the Lord desireth not the death of the ungodly, but God desires to seek and to save that which are lost. Now the self-righteous Pharisees and the scribes, they were murmuring against the Lord Jesus Christ because they did not see themselves as lost. They did not see their lost condition before God. And so therefore they murmured against Christ and said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What a crime for a Savior to seek sinners. Of course, whenever we look at this familiar story, and we're looking at from verse number 11, we often think about the story of the prodigal son. There's a well-traveled outline of the prodigal son simply like this. First of all, sick at home, or sick of home. And then we see him sick. And then we see him homesick. And then we see him home. Simple outline of the story of the prodigal son. But we're not stopping with him this morning. And then, of course, there's a father in the story. And what a wonderful picture we have of the heart of God, friend, because this father, the father in the story, quite often the son's talked about, but the father's never mentioned. Or he's mentioned just simply in light of the son coming home and the father throwing his arms around him. And yet, my friend, I see a wonderful picture of a father here. He was an approachable father. The boy came to his father one day and he said, Father, I want you to give me... At least he could talk to his father. At least he could approach his father. He wasn't afraid to speak to his father. Now, what he said to his father broke his father's heart. But he was an approachable father. You know, the second thing, he was an associated father, because whenever he came home, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. You see, here was a godly man, and whenever this boy looked at his father, he knew that he was a godly father. He associated him with heaven. What a wonderful thing whenever children are able to look at their parents and be able to say, yes, my dad is a Christian. My mom's a Christian. Listen, because they live Christ in the house. They live Christ before us. I've heard them pray. I remember whenever I was at home as a little boy, I remember going to my mother's bedroom door and sitting outside that door, and I heard my mother pray. I asked you before God, and I'm challenging my heart, when was the last time our children heard us pray? I heard her praying for me. She didn't collectively say, Lord, bless all of my children. She went down each and every one of them. And she prayed for each one of us. And let me tell you, my friend, no matter where we went, no matter what we did, we knew that there was a woman that was on her knees before God in prayer. He was not only an approachable father, he was an associated father. But I'll tell you something else about him. He was an affectionate father. Here was a boy, whenever he came home, let me tell you, the father didn't throw him out and say, listen, I don't want anything to do. You've shamed me, you've let me down, you've done all the things that are wrong, I don't want to know you anymore. You took all that I gave you, and listen, you walked away, and you spent it in your own sinful ways. No, friend, listen, here was a father, when he saw his boy coming home, he threw his arms around him, and the Bible says, and he kissed him. That meant he kissed him again and again and again and again. He loved his wayward son. He had an affectionate heart. Here is a man that, my friend, was an affectionate father. He was something else. He was an assuring father. That whenever his boy felt that he wasn't worthy, and neither he was, yet the father threw his arms around him and he brought him home. And he says, take the best robe and put it upon him. And put the ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet, because this is my son, my son. He was an assuring father. He let the boy know that he was welcome home. But we're not stopping with the father. I want you to turn in Luke's Gospel chapter 15 and come to verse number 25. It says now this, now his elder son was in the field. We're coming to the elder brother. And I want you to look at this elder brother, because let me tell you, my friend, whenever you start studying the elder brother, he's not the person you think he is. He's not the person you think he is. I want you to notice, first of all, his actions. His action. The Bible says, now his elder brother was in the field. And so he's coming home from the field. You see, here's a man, he has two sons. One lad went off into the far country, a rebel. He couldn't wait until he got away from home. Do you know the only time that the field was mentioned for the prodigal son was whenever the stranger in the far country sent him into the field to feed swine? But here was a boy that was faithfully serving at home. He looked upon as a busy son just working in the field. A dutiful son. In other words, he's carrying out, as you would say, his father's business. Then that all looks good. But I want you to look deeper. Because let me tell you, that's not the whole story of this lad. It seems to be that this is a good son. He's doing what any father would want him to do. He was out there busy in the field all of those years. Dutifully doing his duties in the field. But let me tell you, friend, whenever you look at this boy, this parable is in the light of the Pharisees. Because he wasn't what you saw. He wasn't this dutiful son, just as we simply see him, this good son. But he was like the Pharisee. The Pharisees that walked about as if they were holy. But whenever the Lord looked into them, he saw them as the very opposite. He said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, ye hypocrites. And as far as they looked, friend, outwardly seeing, as far as the eye of man could see, they were outwardly fulfilling the law, outwardly, to the last letter, but in their hearts, it was completely different. And the Bible tells us and gives us a picture of the Pharisee. Turn your Bible, keep your hand there, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 13, he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Look at verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like a whited sepulchre, which indeed appears beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. It's not a pretty picture. On the outside, they look good. But inside, they were different, friend. They said the right things that they were expected to say. But inside, everything was not well. And there are many like this lad, friend. You see, this lad never came to the place. If you look at this prodigal's brother, he never came to the place that his brother came to. His brother came to the place of repentance. His brother lamented over his sin. His brother asked his father's forgiveness. But the elder brother never saw his need to do so. He never showed any sign of realizing that he too had to be reconciled to his father, as we'll see. But as far as the outward appearance was concerned, he was considered steady, dependable, industrious, thrifty, all of those things. That's all a man could see. But that wasn't the real thing. That wasn't the real lad, friend. His action. Yes, he's busy in the field. It looks good. But I want you to secondly look at his arrogance. Because I want you to look closer at this lad. If you go to verse number 29, he answered his father and he said, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He proudly declared that. It seems that he was a dutiful son, friend, but let me tell you, there's not a hint of love in this boy's heart for his father. I can't see a hint of love in this lad's heart. When I look at this boy, let me tell you this, there's not a hint of love. He's proud of his works. He's proud of his labors. He said, listen, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments. He's full of eye. He sees no wrong in his heart at all. He dismisses his brother as being a wayward, lazy lout. As far as he was concerned, he was not even worthy to be called his brother. But he sees nothing wrong with himself. He just sees himself as that dutiful son. But I ask you, where's the love? Where's the love in this lad's heart? The Lord Jesus said, you draw near me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. And the Pharisees of that day, my friend, let me tell you, they drew near to the Lord with the lips. Listen, the outward show, as far as they were concerned, they had an outward show that was everything was good and everything was grand, but their heart wasn't right. You notice what the lad said? He said, these many years do I serve thee. You know, that word can be translated slavery. In other words, he's saying, Father, all of these years, I've been in bondage to you. Imagine saying that to his father. All of these years, I've been in bondage to you. You see what that does, friend? You see, when you get somebody right, that's when you see the real person. That's whenever the mask slips and you show you just the real person. All of these years I've been in bondage to you. Just like the Pharisee, keepers of legalism. They draw near to the Lord with their lips, but their hearts. Their heart's not in it. He didn't love his younger brother, friend. You see, as the older brother, it would have been his responsibility to have gone out seeking for his missing brother, wondering where he was. This fellow doesn't. He doesn't do that. Natural fact, if you look at the story, it doesn't even tell me that he showed up the day the boy was leaving. His younger brother was leaving. He didn't even show up to say goodbye. He didn't care. He didn't care about his brother. He didn't care what happened to him. He didn't care how far he went. He didn't care if he went to the hogs, to the swine, or to the filth. Not a hint of love. Over all these years, I never transgressed any of your commandments, Father. Not just that. All these years I have served you, I've been in bondage to you. Not a hint of love. He didn't love his younger brother. He didn't love his father either. In actual fact, if you notice here, he didn't even call him by his name, Father. He was disrespectful to his father. He was resentful of the father's love for his brother. Let me tell you, friend. That lad may have been living at home. That lad may have been laboring in the field. But he never showed any love for his father. And listen to me carefully. It is possible for someone to leave the father without leaving the farm. It is possible for someone to leave the father without leaving the farm. And friend, let me tell you, it is possible for someone to leave the Lord and to walk away from the things of God and still be in the Lord's service and in the Lord's house. Possible. You don't have to leave the farm. That lad left the father. No love for his father, friend. Listen, he lived at home, but there was no love. The father loved him, but the boy didn't love his father. You see, friend, the younger son had been far from the father because of his sins of passion. But the elder brother, the elder son, was separated from his father through the sins of attitude. And it's possible for someone to live under the same roof, friend, and never speak. Hard to believe it, but it's true. No love. No love. Under the same roof. And yet no love in the family. What a tragedy. And here's a lad, let me tell you this, and he's boasting what he did. But he had no love. He did the right things. But he's as cold as an icicle. There's no love in his heart. Oh yes, he pleaded about his works. He says, all these years, these many years, do I serve thee? And neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He pleaded his works. Let me tell you, friend. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said that on that day many shall say, in thy name have I done many wonderful works, even cast out devils. And then shall I profess, sinner, I never knew you. You're not mine at all. You're not mine at all. You see, the prodigal was a sinner. But the elder brother was a Pharisee. And he couldn't see his need. Always pointing the finger. Yes, he pointed the finger at his brother. He says, yes, in verse number 30. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Oh yes, he's good at pointing the finger at the brother. He could see nothing but good in him. He could see nothing but wrong in the brother. Friends, let me tell you, his heart was not right with his father. There's his arrogance. And I pray today that God will search our hearts today, lest we deceive ourselves so proud of what we have done. And yet we're not in fellowship with God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Are you walking in fellowship with God, friend? Can be said concerning Noah, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Or have we left our first love? He was a lad and he boasted in what he had done for his father. Yes, I did all of these things. But friend, there was no love. No love. We see his action, we see his arrogance. Thirdly, we see his anger. Go to verse 28. And he was angry. He was angry and would not go in. See, the boy's out in the field. He doesn't see his brother come home, but he's out in the field working. Yes, that's where he's usually been. And probably after a hard day's work, he's coming home. And whenever he comes home, he hears the sound of music. Celebration. He doesn't understand. He's confused because he doesn't see any reason for celebration. See, there's no joy in his heart. He really is miserable. He's miserable within himself. And then, you see, when a person is out of touch with God, they get miserable. And you'll not make them happy because they've lost their joy of the Lord. And this lad's miserable. He comes home, and whenever he hears this music, he doesn't understand. In verse 26, he called one of his servants and he asked what these things meant. And so the servant tells him. Verse 27, he said to him, "Thy brother's come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received them safe and sound." The servant's happy. And the son's miserable. And he says, and he was angry. He's angry. That word there actually means he became red-faced. As a person who clenches his fist and becomes red with anger. He doesn't share the joy of his brother's return. He's not happy. He's miserable. And he doesn't care what he does to make others miserable. You see, he was resentful. He didn't want his brother home. He didn't want him. That's your fact. He didn't even recognize him as his brother. Do you remember Jonah? God said to Jonah, "I want you to go and preach to Nineveh." Jonah ran away from God. God followed after him and outrun Jonah. He was thrown into the sea, and God prepared a great fish for him and swallowed Jonah up. And 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the belly of the fish. And then the fish got sick of Jonah and he spit him out. Thank God, God put him on dry land. You see, God was caring for him all the time. And then God said, "Jonah, I want you to go and preach for me." And Jonah went and preached. And whenever Jonah went and preached, Nineveh was saved. The people turned to the Lord. The multitudes gave their heart to the Lord. Even the very king sat in sackcloth. And then Jonah sat down under a juniper tree and he cried. He said, "I knew that that's what you'd do. God, that's why I didn't want to go in the first place. I didn't want them saved. I'd rather they were damned." Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh saved. He would rather the people had been lost. My, God was going to send judgment. That was his message. Now, he liked that part. That God was going to judge Nineveh. But the people repented. They turned to God and God forgave them. And Jonah just sat down and he pouted. He was angry against God. Matter of fact, this lad was so angry he wouldn't go in. He wouldn't go in to the celebration. Is there someone here before God this morning? Are you angry with God? Are you resentful? Maybe it's not that you're angry with God. Maybe you're angry with God's people. And you're walking with a plank on your shoulder, friend, today, and I can tell you, you're miserable. Because there is no joy if there is no forgiveness in your heart, if there is no happiness, because the joy of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is our strength. Here was a lad, he was not willing to go into the house of happiness. I will not go in and be happy. Can you imagine a person being like that? I am not willing to go in to be happy into my house. And there's people, friend, let me tell you this. And I will not go into God's house to be happy in God's house. I'll sit in misery rather than be reconciled with my brother. I will not be reconciled with him. And friend, let me tell you, they don't care the hurt. This lad doesn't care the hurt. He doesn't care who he hurts. Now, in actual fact, he was willing to hurt his father. If you look what he said to his father, verse 29, he said, listen, I never transgressed thy commandment at any time. Mark this. Yet thou never givest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. Imagine that. Imagine that, friend. You never give me a kid. Listen, what did the father give him? 2/3 of all he owned. When the father gave the 1/3 to his younger brother, he gave to his firstborn 2/3 everything he owned. He gave him everything. But the boy was so bitter and so resentful. You never give me a kid. He gave me everything, but you never give me a kid. Notice what else he said. You never give me a kid that I could be merry with my friends. Notice he didn't say that I could be merry with my family. He didn't say I could be merry with my father. No, no, his friends. Because he didn't care about the father. Yes, under the same roof. Everybody thought he was a dutiful son. But he was walking about with bitterness in his heart. And it says, he was angry. He was angry. In actual fact, what he was saying, what he said to his father was this, what have you ever given me? What have you ever given me? You see, friend, he was angry. That's what was in his heart. That's what was really inside. That was the bile that was inside. What have you ever done for me, Father? And yet the Father had given him. Look at the verse 31. All that I have is thine. What have you ever given me? You see, friend, an angry heart doesn't care who it hurts. Doesn't care. In actual fact, if you look at verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, notice, not my brother. No, no, not my brother. Your son. He distanced himself from his father. And he distanced himself from his brother. Why? Because he's bitter within. He's bitter within. Now listen. He was thinking about his friends. Yes, and he had a wee group of friends. Doesn't tell us where they were, but he talked about them. He wanted to make merry with his friends. He doesn't even call him father. Remember when the prodigal came home, what was the first thing the son said? Look at verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. We've looked at his action. We've looked at his arrogance. We've looked at his anger. Lastly, his admonition. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. There's the grace of his father, friend. You see, he didn't love his father, but the father loved him. He disowned his father, but his father does not disown him. Yes, he was in the field, working in the fields, dutifully, as everyone looked upon him. There's a lovely son. There's a dutiful son. There's a boy. What about that rascal out there? But that boy in the field was as far away from his father's heart as the boy in the far country. You see, he's not the son you think he is. Not the person you think he is. But the father went out and treated him. You know, just as he went out to bring the prodigal in, he went out to bring the elder brother in. And the Bible says the father entreated him. Now, the father could have rebuked him, but he entreated him. And the word there means to come alongside of another, to offer aid and comfort, to beg, to console, to encourage. The father didn't go out to beat him over the head, friend. The father went alongside, and I can see the father putting his arms around him as he did the prodigal. And he said, Son, come in. Come in, buddy. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter, son. And you know, as he twitched with anger, and his face was red, and his fist was clenched, the father said, My son, my child. There's a father's love. And then the father reminded him, verse 31. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. In other words, everything is available to you, son. What more can I give? I've given you everything. I've given you everything. So, come in. Come in. Come in and rejoice. It is meet, that means it's necessary, that we should make merry and be glad. And whilst the elder brother didn't see him, his prodigal brother, as a brother to him, thy son, the father said in verse 32, For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Is found. You know the only person miserable in that story? The elder brother. He's the only one miserable. But it never says he came in.
I'll not go in and sit with him. Because you see, he was filled with himself. He was filled with resentment. He was filled with bitterness. And he stayed outside. Men and women, boys and girls this morning, let me tell you, Jesus bids you come. Come in. All things are ready. Come and be happy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice with the people of God. Rejoice with the family of God. Yes, your brother's in. And I'm in. Come on in. Come on in. Let's meet. It's right that we be merry together. Happy in the Lord. May God search our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy holy presence this morning, thou knowest our hearts. No God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt take away everything from our hearts that would hinder or mar thy blessing. Oh Lord, what a marring of the blessing of that family. Everybody else, the servants were happy. The prodigal son's now happy. And the father's happy. Just one lad miserable. Not willing to come in. And yet all that I have. Son, what more can I give for all that I have is thine. Help us as the people of God today to rejoice in all we have in Christ. O God, may the devil not get in to take away that joy, that happiness of serving thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.